Good morning, and welcome back to the early show, live and exclusive here on the Crusade Channel, coming to you from London Town this morning. And we have a guest, Mr. Sebastian Sarborn. Sebastian, are you there?
Yes, I can hear you. Hi, nice to be with you.
Wonderful. Sebastian, tell me, which city are you talking to us from?
Currently, I'm in Edinburgh, so the capital of Scotland. I'm looking out of the window. It's surprisingly good weather, you know, in this area here, you have to really expect rain pretty much every day. But today it's nice, so it must be because I'm talking to you, Kevin.
Oh, wonderful. Now, Sebastian, you are CEO of a, well, let me preface my comments. Last week, I asked the audience what would make the Crusade Channel even better. And I have to say that at top of the list was food, and then more food.
Food,
and then farming. So when I got your text at 4 o'clock or whatever it was this morning, I don't know what you were doing at that time. I don't know what I was doing at that time, but never mind. I thought, well, wouldn't it be nice to have Sebastian talk about his farm to fork enterprise. So tell us a little bit, you're the CEO of what exactly?
Yeah, so I'm the founder of and CEO of a Texas-based company called Texas Real Food. And what Texas Real Food really is, it's a big farm-to-table directory. In fact, it's the biggest sort of farm-to-table business directory in Texas. So we have over 5,000 listings of Texas family farms and ranches, farmers markets, farm-to-table restaurants, artisan food producers. It's the biggest farm-to-table directory in Texas. It's free to list, free to use, and it's used every day by thousands of Texans who are looking for a farm and ranch nearby, for example, to buy farm fresh produce, meat, eggs, dairy. And so people who are looking to participate, you know, in the farm-to-table movement, take control of what they eat.
Wonderful. Now, let's backtrack a little bit, because this farm-to-fork movement, if I can call it that, and I think it is a movement, is a relatively, it's got a lot of steam suddenly, but it's a relatively recent appearance on the scene. How did you get into the whole business of sustainable farming and thinking around food and farming?
Well, you're right. I mean, so the farm to fork movement really has been gaining a lot of traction in the last 20 to 25 years, when people realized how important food really is for our general health and well-being. And I got into this really because I used to live in the United States, in fact, in Texas, for quite a long time until quite recently. And I owned a ranch there near Austin, and also went myself a little bit into farming. And that's when I realized, actually, when you want to start a farm or a ranch and want to start selling produce and farming products, it's actually very difficult, you know, to market yourself, because you are competing with huge grocery stores that have huge marketing budgets and that have huge advertising budgets. And here you are as a family farm and ranch, want to sell your stuff. Obviously, you can go to the farmers markets and sell there. For many farms, that's not enough. So that's how I came up with this idea after I've left Texas, to essentially create this business directory and information resource that helps farms to connect to consumers in Texas and helps Texan families to find family farms and ranches.
Yeah, I mean, so you actually owned a working ranch in Texas in the Austin area. So you were one of those farmers who were looking for the market. It wasn't just a case of a city slicker looking for good produce. You were actually aware of the need to connect the land with the market, with the consumer.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, it was a small scale farm. You know, we only had like around 50 acres near Austin. But I was exactly that. So I was doing that together with my family. And we were trying to, you know, build a business and find a market.
But you then went, and I know this because you've told me this before, you then went to one of the great gurus of the farm to fork movement for advice.
Yeah, that's right. So I obviously had read quite a few books and by Joel Salatin, who, you know, who many of you will know.
Yes,
I mean, he has appeared in a number of movies. I think he even was on this show, on this channel.
He's a friend of the network, absolutely.
Yeah, so he must be one of the, you know, best known farmers, you know, in America, and someone who made that movement really popular and also encouraged a lot of beginning farmers to farm and farm in a particular way. So I went to him. I visited him in Virginia. I spent a day with him consulting, you know, where he advised me of what to do, where he showed me his operation. Then I attended several other events, training courses with him later. Yeah, so it helped me a great deal to understand what works, what's important. And of course, he has a lot of practical experience as well.
Because one of the hallmarks of the farm to fork movement is it's very holistic. I mean, we live in an age where a lot of city people are talking about environmental issues or climate or whatever. But there's something about this movement which seems to sort of place things in their legitimate and proper sequencing and context. Would you say that's kind of your take on it?
Yeah, absolutely. It does that. And it does that because it puts the human being, you know, at the center of this work. It says, you know, quite often we hear today, wouldn't it be good to rewild the world? Wouldn't it be good to basically get rid of the human beings in the world? So then everything would be much better, you know, nature would recover and so on and so forth. And in this movement, we think the direct opposite. We think actually that human beings are the stewards of the land, and nature really need the human beings to develop the land and to ensure optimal growth and flourishing of the flora and fauna.
And it's good for the animals, it's good for the farmers, and it's ultimately good for the consumers.
Absolutely, yeah.
So tell me, so the philosophy we get, and we're all signed up to it, no problem. But how does that translate into it? What made you go into this idea of the Texas Real Food Directory, which is a way of bringing people together? What was your thinking there?
Well, based on, you know, obviously my own experience when I tried farming, a lot of farmers don't really like marketing. Right, they're not familiar with marketing. They don't want to sit in an office or indoors and write a lot of marketing emails or maintain a website and things like this. So naturally, they find promoting the business difficult. Right, it's a chore. It's not something they enjoy. And yeah, unfortunately, quite often they also think the consumers are just coming to them. You know, in a way, build a factory and then your customers will come. But that's, of course, not the case, right? So unless you spread the word, nothing is going to happen, right? I mean, you can have the best product. If nobody knows about it, then, you know, you won't be able to sell it and you won't have customers who can enjoy it. So I have done a lot of marketing myself for other businesses. So I always knew that marketing really is the key to any business success, no matter what industry you're in. So I thought, let's build a marketing platform that farms and ranches and other local food businesses in Texas can use that's primarily free. And then there are, of course, some paid services, but that creates easy access for everyone who's interested in that movement. That's well ranked in the search engines. It makes it easy for people to find local produce, local meat, and other farming products.
So what year did you actually start the listings?
We started that in 2020.
And how quickly has it grown?
Well, I mean, it has grown very quickly. I mean, so I have quite a substantial team, you know, working together with me. Mm-hmm. We are around 10 team members. So we did all the initial research ourselves in-house. So we basically searched the internet for month and month for local farms and ranches in Texas and sustainable local food businesses, and then added them manually to our directory, reviewed them, reviewed their products, and made a lot of effort in making sure, and we are making an effort to make sure that the directory is up to date and that it reflects what these businesses do, you know. It has grown very quickly. Yeah.
I mean, I'd imagine, Sebastian, that you're it's kind of shooting fish in a barrel. I mean, there's a huge audience for this type of thing. I mean, people are concerned about food. They're concerned about where their food comes from. I would imagine you're really onto something. Do you?
We have on our email list, for example, we have a 20,000, 20,000 contacts, which are all Texas consumers, you know. So we send them regular email updates with new businesses that have opened, what's happening on the farmers markets on the weekend, events, recipes, all sorts of news. So we send them a lot of emails. We get very good feedback. I mean, people really enjoy it. I mean, especially in these difficult times when we hear about external crises, the cost of living is going up, inflation is rising. Texans really try to spend their food dollar in Texas, right? And try to build a sustainable food chain in Texas rather than giving it to international corporations.
Absolutely. You're listening to Sebastian Sarborn, who's our guest this morning on The Early Show, live and exclusive here on the Crusade Channel with me, your host, Kevin Turley, sitting in for Fiorella today. There's been a few comments in the chat room about this because they are very enthusiastic farmers and consumers of food. But one interesting one from Patrick in the chat room, and he says, I hear a German accent, Black Forest region. That's interesting that he picked that up.
Well, that is true. Yeah, that is actually true. I am from Germany. I am from the Black Forest region. But I haven't lived there. I haven't lived there for like 20 years. And because I've lived in a number of places, including the US, Texas, and including, of course, the UK, my accent now is all mixed up. So some people think I'm South African. Others think I'm Irish. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a mix. So.
That's very well spotted, Patrick, there. I mean, your time in Texas would have shown you an aspect of food production and food consumption, which isn't the European experience, I would suggest. We do have farms, but generally speaking, we don't have the kind of localized farms. There are some, but we don't have them in the way that rural parts of the United States would have. Is that a fair observation?
Yeah, I think it's a fair observation, and definitely there are a lot more, I think, families, you know, often married couples in the U.S. who say, well, we want to try this, we want to go into farming, we want to set up one of these local farms or ranch. Obviously, land tends to be cheaper than in Europe and more available because there's more space. So there's a lot more of this going on. Traditionally, of course, in Europe, we had also many small farms, but the trend right now is definitely more in the US than in Europe.
Yeah. How do you see this developing?
Well, I mean, there's a long way to go, we have to say, you know. So for every food dollar spent on the farmer's market, 400 food dollars are spent in the grocery stores, right? So right now, the local food movement has a very tiny part, you know, of what people spend. There are also affordability issues because obviously small farms and ranches don't do mass production. So products are honestly priced, which means they can be more expensive. There is definitely a lot of work to do. But everyone is really enthusiastic, and by making it more accessible, creating public awareness, and removing sort of barriers and making it convenient for people to buy that food and a positive experience, I think the market share will be able to grow in the next few years.
Yes, I can't see anything other than growth in the years ahead for this type of localized endeavor, especially in a country like the United States. Some people in the chat room are involved in farming and they're very interested in getting in touch. What's the best way, Sebastian, to contact you and your directory?
So it's called Texas Real Food. You can look it up online. You can find it on Facebook, Instagram, and then simply use that to message us, contact us with any questions, queries that you might have. As I said before, it's free to use, it's free to list. So if you are a Texas family farm and ranch, or farmers market, or some other Texas food business, simply go on the website and there's a button to add your business completely free, and you will be listed in there.
That's great. I will drop a link to the website for Texas Real Food in a moment in the chat room as well for anybody who's interested in that. It's worth taking a look at. I had a look at it earlier. It's a fascinating insight into how people are using these modern technologies for something very old, which is a marketplace where people are bartering and moving foodstuffs around. So, Sebastian, thank you so much for coming on the show this morning. I know you're very busy and it's now top of the hour, so you have to go. But just to let you know that every Friday on this channel, they have Free Farm Friday in the afternoon when it's nonstop talk about directories, farm, and food. So you may get a call to appear on other shows. You never know. But
All right, sounds great.
But I'm very grateful for your time this morning, Sebastian, and wish you all the best with the Texas Real Food Directory.